नमस्कृतं ब्रह्मविदामुपैति कल्पायुषो यद्विपुदारमन्ते तद्विश्वनाभिं प्रतिवर्त्य विष्णो अनीयता विरजेनात्मनन्तः नमस्कृतं ब्रह्मविदामुपैति कल्पायुषो यद्विपुदारमन्ते तद्विश्वनाभिं प्रतिवर्त्य विष्णो अनीयसा विरजेनात्मनैकः नमस्कृतं ब्रह्मविदामुपैति कल्पायुषो यद्विबुधारमन्ते तद्विश्वनाभिं त्वतिवर्त्य विष्णोर् अनीयसा विरजेनात्मनैकः नमस्कृतं ब्रह्मविदामुपैति कल्पायुषो यद्विबुधारमन्ते माताजी तद्विश्वनाभिं त्वतिवर्त्य विष्णोर् अनीयसा विरजेनात्मनैकः नमस्कृतं ब्रह्मविदामुपैति कल्पायुषो यद्विबुधारमन्ते वट् वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्स् तत् दट् विश्वनाभिम् नेवल् आफ् द यूनिवर्सल् पर्सनालिटी आफ् गाड् हेड् तु बट् अतिवर्त्य क्रासिङ्ग् ओवर् विष्णोः आफ् लार्ड् विष्णु दि पर्सनालिटी आफ् गाड् हेड् अनीयसा Due to mystic perfection, virajena, by the purified atmana, by the living entity, ekaha, alone, namaskritam, worshipable, brahma vidam, by those who are transcendentally situated, upaiti, reaches, kalpa ayushaha, a period of 43 crore solar years. Yet, the place, Vibhudaha, self-realized souls, Ramante, do enjoy. Translation. This Shishumar is the pivot of the turning of the complete universe and it is called the navel of Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Shishumar and attains the planet Maharloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 43 crore solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. Verse number 26. Ato anantasya mukhana lena dandahyamanam saniriksha vishvam niryati siddheshvara yushtadishtyam yadvai parardyam tadupara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life, a flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta, from the bottom of the universe. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes and he leaves for Satyaloka by airplanes used by the great purified souls. The duration of life in Satyaloka is calculated to be a very long time. Purport. It is indicated herein that the residents of Maharloka, where the purified living entities are demigods, possess a duration of life calculated to be 43 crore solar years have airships by which they reach Satyaloka, the topmost planet of the universe. In other words, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from us, which modern planes and spacecraft cannot reach, even by imaginary speeds. The statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are accepted by great acharyas like Sridhar Swami, Ramanujacharya and Vallabhacharya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Vedic authority. And as such, no sane man can ignore the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam when it is spoken by the self-realized soul Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who follows in the footsteps of his great father Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedic literatures. In the creation of the Lord, there are many wonderful things we can see with our own eyes every day and night, but we are unable to reach them equipped by modern materialistic science. We should not therefore depend on the fragmentary authority of the material science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. For a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or of Vedic literature can be verified by him. The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because it has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men but are also liberated souls without any of the flaws of the conditioned souls. The modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of Vedic literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by the great acharyas. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते सप्तकाञ्चना गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा सो दिस इज वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेकंड कैंटो वेर the discussion is about the yogi traveling to various other planetary systems. And Srila Prabhupada also speaks about that particular aspect in his purport. So we are not going to discuss about Chandrayaan today. So, but something much more fundamental than that we will try to discuss. So, Srila Prabhupada, he says in the purport that Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from us, which modern planes and spacecraft cannot reach, even by imaginary speeds. The statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are accepted by great acharyas like Sridhar Swami, Ramanujacharya and Vallabhacharya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Vedic authority. And as such, no sane man can ignore the statements of Bhagavatam when it is spoken by self-realized soul like Srila Shukadeva Goswami, even when it comes to topics like cosmology. So, even though that may not be the prime theme of Srimad Bhagavatam, but still self-realized souls cannot make a mistake when they are presenting even numbers. And if there is a change, then definitely the acharyas do mention about it. So therefore, unless very clearly mentioned by self-realized acharyas in their commentaries, we have to accept the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam on any subject matter, including Vedic cosmology, to be authentic and exact to the decimal number. So, Srila Prabhupada further says, for a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or Vedic literature can be verified by him. It's not verifiable for him. The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic. Why? Because it has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, but are also liberated souls without any flaws of the conditioned souls. But modern scientists, Srila Prabhupada says, are conditioned souls who are prone to many of the human frailties, errors and mistakes. So, the point is, as it is so commonly projected, actually our faith and logic so diverse from each other. Are they so diverse? Because many times he says, people accuse us by telling that, oh, for everything you believe based on faith, there must be some logic. Okay. So now, are faith and logic so diverse from each other? Actually, this is something which we need to explore. So, often people say that modern knowledge is logically verifiable and reasonable. But Vedic knowledge is expected to be accepted purely based on faith. This is a common accusation that people have. But Srila Prabhupada is seemingly challenging this proposition here. Srila Prabhupada seemingly is indicating that there is absolutely no difference between the way in which modern knowledge or scientific knowledge is accepted and Vedic knowledge is accepted. There is absolutely no difference. Everything is same. He says, for a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or Vedic literature can be verified by him. This is so much true. How many of the various experiments that we have studied and accepted have we actually verified? You know. So, Srila Prabhupada is indicating here that there is absolutely no difference between modern science and Vedic wisdom in terms of knowledge acquisition means of knowledge acquisition, for common man at least, for common man, because both are not verifiable. Actually, if you see, whether it is modern or Vedic knowledge, faith is the foundation of any knowledge, whether people may wish to accept it or not. Faith is the foundation of any knowledge. Well, one may say, no way. Modern science definitely can be verified. It's verified. But Vedic knowledge simply has to be accepted based on faith. Is that really so? Actually, when we say that modern scientific knowledge is verified, if we ask ourselves, what we actually mean is that we trust that it is verifiable, or at the most we trust that someone has verified it. We have not verified it and we have not bothered to verify it. It's all runs based on trust. We trust that it is verifiable and someone has verified it. I have not done it. Practically everything, 99.9999% of the things that we use, 99.9999% of people who use. This is reality. Everything goes on in this world based on faith, Shabda. In fact, if you see the modern world's dependence on Shabda or faith is mind-boggling. Recently, you know, I wanted to order something from Amazon. So, my one point contact always is Nimai Lila Prabhu. So, I called Nimai Lila Prabhu and asked him, Prabhu, you know, I wish to purchase this particular thing. Can you select a good one for me? So, he went to Amazon and after some time he said, Prabhuji, this is really good. This is the best. This is the best that you can get. And I asked him, why do you feel so? Have you used it? And he said, no. He said, look at the reviews, Prabhu. You know, the reviews are awesome. You know, everyone is just, you know. So, which means basically, he has come to a conclusion that it is a wonderful thing. How? Purely based on reviews. So, he trusts that those reviews are correct and has been given by people who have actually used it. And not just fudged, you know, the owner itself is entering 3-4 times, you know, the review. It's not like that. So it's all based on trust. Practically, acceptance of any modern scientific product is all, the whole thing runs based on Shabda only, reviews. Even the scientific journals, you know, everything that is actually researched and presented upon in various prominent peer-reviewed journals. So, it's all reviewed by people and you trust that they have actually reviewed the article and allowed it to be published. And we all know how peer review happens. You know, we have been in the scientific world. Not that every article that comes, the person is going to do an experiment to figure out whether they have presented the right or not. It all goes to a large extent based on how well known is the author and how much he has already published and accepted. It all goes based on that. So, in fact, you know, and there is a lot of fudging that happens. Like for example, in the university where I studied in the United States, in our own department, there was one actually very eminent professor, emeritus professor. He was already semi-retired. And he was like the father of that particular field of electrochemistry. Prominent research work has been, you know, multiple times Nobel nominated. Multiple times Nobel nominee. He is the most topmost peer-reviewed journals, he is the chief editor. It so happened that his own student, you know, who was researching on that particular area, found out incredible evidence from his own research, which was disproving his own professor's theory outright. His professor would not allow him to publish it. He is the chief editor and he has to be co-author. He'll say, I will not co-author it. I will not allow you to publish it in any journal. If you want to publish it, either change the topic of your research or fudge the data. It's quite close to me. But this person was a cutter researcher. He said, absolutely not. What I am getting, that's what I will present. So he said, let's see how you get a PhD. It went on 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. He would not let him publish. He would not let him graduate. And he said, I don't need your PhD. And he moved on back to Germany. These things happen. You know. So, but when it comes in a peer-reviewed journal like, you know, Nature or something like that, we accept, oh, this must be absolute truth. But we don't know who reviews. They are our acharyas. So if they have reviewed it, it must be right. That is Shabda Praman for us. But basically, if you see, for common man, or even for most researchers, for anyone else's research is Shabda Praman only for them. It is not Pratyaksha, most of it, right? At the most, some level of Anuman is there, right? So, the same is true with Vedic knowledge. Why brand it as something which needs to be accepted based on faith, and modern knowledge is all based on verification? This is a whole hoax. Krishna says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriyah. Jnanam labdva param shantim achirena digachati. He says, for gaining knowledge, here he talks about Nishkama Karma Yoga. He says, for gaining knowledge, you need three things. Shraddhavan. You need faith. Faith in what? Faith in the source of knowledge, pramana. Because if you don't have faith in the pramana, then you will not be willing to acquire knowledge from it. So, shraddhavan. And then tatparaha. Not only you need faith in the pramana, but you should be firmly fixed in practicing it. Only then you will be able to verify whether what is presented in that pramana is correct or not. Tatparaha. And samyatendriyaha. Samyatendriya means you should be sense controlled. Which means you should not get distracted. If you get distracted, then you will not be able to properly verify whether the pramana, whatever the pramana presents, is correct or not. You will not be able to consistently verify it by your own practice. So Krishna says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriyah. Three things. Same thing is true with modern science also. Okay. So first, it all starts with some fair amount of faith in the pramana. Right? And how do you develop that faith in pramana? There must be some pratyaksha which supports it. Okay. There may be some pratyaksha that supports it. Like for example, if you go to a university, how do you know whether that professor is bona fide or not? Well, a reputed university has employed him for so many decades and is paying him, employing him, so many, he has authored so many books, and these scientific publishing houses are allowing him to publish. So this is all some pratyaksha. So when there is actually pratyaksha leads to faith in Shabda Praman. And when that faith in Shabda Praman one develops, then one acquires knowledge. This is true whether with material knowledge or Vedic knowledge. There is absolutely no difference in the means in which knowledge is acquired. Now, even for, let's say, knowledge of bhakti. Okay. So, how do you, first, it starts with faith in bhakti scriptures. You should have faith in bhakti scriptures. But how do you develop faith in bhakti scriptures? There must be some pratyaksha to support it. What is that pratyaksha? The acharyas explained, satam kripa mahat seva agyata sukriti. When a Vaishnava becomes compassionately disposed towards a living entity, he thinks, oh, it would be so nice if this person becomes a devotee. And then he engages him in some favorable devotional activities without his own knowledge, so that he can develop some appreciation. And that appreciation leads to accumulation of what is called as sukriti, agyata sukriti. And when that agyata sukriti matures over a long period of time, it becomes shraddha, faith. So this mahat seva and agyata sukriti is actually pratyaksha praman. So this pratyaksha, accumulation of pratyaksha leads to faith in shabda. So actually, if you see, shabda needs the support of pratyaksha before and after. Any shabda praman, whether it is modern science that you are pursuing or Vedic knowledge. Faith in shabda means it needs the support of pratyaksha before and after. So before, like I mentioned, you know, there must be sufficient favorable experience in connection with bhakti, which becomes sukriti, which when accumulated, it becomes faith, faith in shabda. And after you develop faith in shastras, you need pratyaksha to sustain that faith also. Right? So if someone may say, you know, by practicing bhakti, you know, one's heart becomes purified. How do you know? Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavatam says. After 10 years, someone asks you, by practicing bhakti, the heart becomes purified. How do you know? Bhagavad Gita says. Bhagavatam says. Shabda Praman. After 30 years, someone asks you, by practicing bhakti, the heart gets purified. Someone asks, how do you know? Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavatam says. Now, you yourself will get start doubting this if it is not happening in your own life. Okay, Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavatam says, but am I actually experiencing it? So, that is why the Shastras say, bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra cheshatrika ekakalaha. Prapadya manasya yatashnatastyus tushti pushti shudapayo anugasam. So, by practicing bhakti, parallelly, when one progresses on the path of bhakti, two things which one can experience. Para isha anubhava and virakti. Anyatra virakti. Direct experience of the hand of Krishna in various things one has to experience. That is experienceable. And anyatra virakti, a sense of detachment from material sense gratification. So, this has to be supported. So, Shabda Praman, to develop faith in Shabda, you need prior to that some pratyaksha to support it. And after you develop that faith, to sustain that faith, you need pratyaksha to support it from both sides. This is either material knowledge or Vedic knowledge. This is true. So, if someone says that, you know, this laptop has 8 hours battery life. So, he says, Amazon reviews says. And you have... your previously, whenever you have purchased with good reviews, you have almost always gotten the product as they advertised, let's say. So there is pratyaksha to support it. Okay. And then, so the Shabda Praman says, very good reviews. 4.95 out of 5. Okay. Good. So you purchase it. And after that, the battery should give 8 hours battery life. If it is giving only 3 hours, 4 hours, then you cannot say, Are Shabda Praman says 8 hours, so it must be 8 hours. Right? So there must be support of pratyaksha before and after for accepting any Shabda based on faith. So therefore, whether in the spiritual circles or in any material realm, actually, if you see, good experience lead to development of faith, good faith. Lack of good experience lead to lack of faith, ashraddha. Bad experience leads to samshaya, doubt. Okay. So that's what Krishna says. Agnyascha ashraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokostinaparo nasukam samshayatmana. He talks about three types of people who struggle with faith. You know. So, agnya. One who has absolutely no experience, you know, he has no source of knowledge, no acceptance of any pramana. So he has no faith. Ashraddhadana is one who has some kind of knowledge, but he has not developed any serious faith in the pramana because of lack of experience. Samshayatma is one who started practicing but had bad experience. And gave it up. Okay. So ultimately, how much pratyaksha has nourished the faith in Shabda, to that extent, the faith will be strong or weak. Right. So therefore, whenever the Shastras talk about a person, the usage of terminologies in Shastra also, when they talk about intelligence or foolish, lack of knowledge. Generally, it refers to lack of a particular type of faith system. Like say, for example, Krishna says, avajananti ma mudha, manushim tanum ashritam, param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. He says, the fools deride me. The Lord of all beings, when I possess a human form, manushim tanum ashritam, but the fools do not accept, he says. So which means, everyone in Stanford, MIT, everyone will accept that the Lord possesses a form? Is that what it means? Or every unpaid, illiterate will reject that the Lord has a form? Is it like that? So when Krishna says, fools do not accept that I have a form, the certified most intelligent people of this world, are they expected to accept Krishna possessing a form? No. Then why is Krishna calling them mudha? Okay. So generally, when such words are used in the scriptures, it refers to lack of faith in a particular knowledge system. In this case, the bhakti system. Okay. So, and why would they lack that faith in that particular knowledge system? Because they lack experiences which would nourish that faith. So when they lack experiences which would nourish that faith, then they would not develop faith. And if they would not develop faith in that pramana, they would not acquire knowledge from it. If they don't acquire knowledge from it, they will not have that knowledge. So they will say, absolute truth, there is nothing like that. Or absolute truth has no form. Why? Because there is no faith in the shastras which talk about the Lord having form. Why they don't have faith? Because they don't have sufficient nourishing experiences which would nourish that faith. So, how do we know that when Krishna says the word mudha, he is just referring to faith? How do we know this? The next verse Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. He says, Mahatmanah, Mahatma, Atmana. Atmanah here refers to possessor of intelligence. Atmana, Atma here refers to, in this context, intelligence. Mahatmanah means those who possess extraordinary intelligence. That's how it should be translated. But the Acharyas translate that word as the fortunate souls. The fortunate souls. Even though the literal translation should be the intelligent people. But the explanation is fortunate souls. So what fortunate souls do? Daivim prakritim ashritah. They take shelter of the daivi prakriti. Path of bhakti. Bhajanti ananya manaso. And worship me in my human form without deviation. Gyatva, knowing, avyayam. That my form is eternal and indestructible. So how did they get this knowledge? In the commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, but those men who attain greatness of intelligence by unpredictable mercy of devotees. So they have come in touch with devotees, received that satam kripa and mahat seva, and there was accumulation of agyata sukriti. Experiences, nourishing experiences in the association of great devotees. That led to development of faith in the Bhakti Shastras. Then when the Bhakti Shastras say, the Lord has a form, he says, of course, it must be right. Why? The Shastras are telling. They can't be wrong. But this is not so obvious for others. Right? So he develops that faith. And what is the nature of that faith? In Bhakti Shastras, faith in the process of bhakti. I can attain perfection of bhakti, or I can attain my goal of attaining the lotus feet of the Lord only by Navada Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, அர்ச்சனம் வந்தனம் தாசியம் சக்கியம் ஆத்ம நிவேதனம். The second aspect of faith is faith in the Bhakti Shastras. Oh, this Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they must be correct. What is there in it, I may not know. But they must be correct. Why? Because people who are following it are living a very incredible life. So therefore, these scriptures must be right. That is the next symptom of faith. The third symptom of faith is faith in the devotees. Oh, these devotees are the people with whom one should be living their life. Their association is very good. That is the third aspect of faith. And the fourth aspect of faith is this line of knowledge, Guru Sishya Parampara. They are not here to cheat me. They are here to hold my hand and take me to my goal. That is the fourth aspect of faith. So, by favorable nourishing experience in the form of pratyaksha, one develops this faith. Okay. Like we everyday chant. But in the absence of those experience, what happens? There is no faith. If there is no faith, there is no assimilation of knowledge. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Everyday we chant. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave. Swalpa punyavatam rajan vishwasone vajayate. What is the meaning? Mahaprasade. The Mahaprasad of the Lord. Govinde, the deity forms of the Lord. Nama Brahmani, the transcendental holy name of the Lord. And Vaishnave, the Vaishnavas who are worshipping that holy name and holy form of the Lord. And holy Mahaprasad of the Lord. Swalpa Punyavatam. For Swalpa Punyavatam means those who have Swalpa Sukriti. Swalpa Agyata Sukriti. Swalpa Punyavatam Rajan Vishwaso Naiva Jayate. They cannot have trust in actually these four things. That's why you tell a devotee, Prabhuji, ye mat kao, ye prasad nahi hai. This is not prasad. Ye kao, ye prasad hai. So devotee will say, Arre Prabhuji, thank you very much. Main toh usko kaane hi wala tha. You know, I was just going to eat it. You just saved me. Saved me means, is that poison? You know. So you tell the same thing to a person who has no devotion, who is not in the path of bhakti, he'll say, I mean, kya farak padta hai? You know, both look the same, they smell the same, they probably would taste the same also. So what do you mean, I should eat this, I should not eat this? Right. So, and if you see Govinde, the form of the Lord, you say, Are, you know, it was such a nourishing experience taking darshan of Gopinathji, or Srila Prabhupada, you may say. Someone who does not have that Sukriti will say, come, I will show you even better sculpted, you know, statues. You know, Ajanta, Ellora and all that. Nama Brahmani. Every day, 2 hours, we sit and chant 16 rounds. Because we have that faith. But Swalpa Punyavatam Rajan. But for those who have insufficient experiences which will nourish that faith in the form of Sukriti, Vishwasone Vajayate. They will not have faith. So you may say why I should not eat this? You should eat this. Simple logic. Ye prasadam hai, ye prasadam nahi hai. Simple logic. It is logical for whom? So therefore, people always say, Prabhu, don't invoke faith. Explain it logically. This is a common argument. Don't invoke faith. Anyone who does not have faith should be able to understand, logically explain. But in reality, if you see, logic is highly subjective. Subject to one's own experience. If one has experienced it, he will have faith in it, it will become logic. So that's why logic or anuman, what is the source of that anuman? Purva Pratyaksha, prior experience. If you have experienced something before, then it will make sense. It will be logical. If you have not experienced it, it will not make any sense. So therefore, when someone lacks faith, it means he lacks experience. When someone lacks knowledge of a particular thing, probably he lacks faith, and he lacks faith because probably he lacks nourishing experience. And when we are talking about knowledge of bhakti or acceptance of some tenets of bhakti, if someone is unwilling to accept, it is probably because they don't have faith. Of course, they don't have faith. And they don't have faith because they lack the nourishing experiences that we had, which helped us develop this faith. Okay. This is true even from a material sense. So sometimes, in my classes, sometimes I give examples like, you know, just like the relationship between a mother and son. A mother has such unselfish love towards the son, you know, as if it's a universal truth, you know, you present like that, because that's your experience. But I have over a period of time realized that some people have serious issues accepting such examples, because their experience is so different. They grew up in an abusive household. They said, Prabhuji, I could not relate with your example. I'm not able to understand what you're trying to connect. They get switched off. So something which is so logical for you is beyond their logic, because they lack that experience which nourishes that sense of logic or faith. So, and sometimes, many times, if you see, it is actually Shabda Praman, but we speak as if it is Pratyaksha Praman for us. So, we speak as if it is Pratyaksha Praman, and we believe as if it is Pratyaksha Praman for us, whether it is spiritual or material. Like, for example, let's take an example of spiritual. So, recently, in one of the classes, I was just mentioning, you know, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is a description of how one person can have one form in Goloka, another form in Vaikuntha, and another form elsewhere. Like, for example, the example that was given was Garuda. So, Sridhama is actually Garuda. Actually, Garuda is an expansion of Sridhama in the material world. So Sridhama expands as Garuda in Vaikuntha as the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and he expands in the material world as the son of Vinata, and he expands in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime as Garuda Pandit. So one soul expanding into many body. Okay. So one devotee asks, Prabhuji, this, you know, how do you understand it, you know, logically, you know, this is so, it makes no logical sense. It makes no logical sense. So then I asked, one soul inhabiting one body makes very logical sense to you? And he said, yes, of course. What logic? Have you seen the soul inhabiting the body? Then he thought, thought about it, and he said, how is it that you are so sure that one soul actually inhabits a body? And he said, actually, Prabhupada told. And because I have heard from Prabhupada repeatedly so many times, and I have heard devotees talking about it so many times, I have read about it so many times, now I have started believing as if it is Pratyaksha Praman for me. Logical. One body, one soul, definitely it must be true. So now when someone says, four bodies, one soul, say, oh, it defies all logic. As if one body, one soul is accepted based on very strong logic. It is actually Shabda Praman only. Right? Similarly, in material, like yesterday also I was talking with Haridas Thakur Prabhu, and, I was telling that, you know, how the Shastras say that Karma Mishra Bhaktas or Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, mixed devotees can also go to Vaikuntha. So Prabhuji asks, it makes no logical sense. So I said, okay Prabhu, now in the material world you practice Shuddha Bhakti, you go to some far away place, Goloka Vrindavan, which you have never seen, it makes logical sense. Of course, it makes logical sense. What logic? Shabda Pramani. This is called a Shastra Yukti, the logic of the scriptures. So, but because we have heard about it so many times, we start believing as if it is Pratyaksha Pramana only for us. So therefore, when we hear something different, we think, oh, it makes no logical sense. So similarly, this is true with modern knowledge also. So you say that my phone battery got discharged. You see, phone battery got discharged. You see means what? Are you seeing that the phone battery got discharged? So someone initially told you that if it is not starting, then your phone battery got discharged. It was the initial Shabda Praman, which you accepted it so many times. Over a period of time, you start believing as if it is Pratyaksha Praman for you. You see, very phone got discharged. I mean, what do you see? You don't see the battery. You don't see the charge. What you actually are accepting is Shabda Praman only. But because it has been repeated so many times, you start believing as if it is Pratyaksha Praman. Verified knowledge. Now, who verified this? This is propaganda actually. So, therefore, we have to understand that that logic is very subjective to one's experience. This is why sensitivity is very important. When someone is unwilling to accept our proposition, we should understand, oh, unfortunate. He does not have sufficient nourishing experience which has helped him to develop that faith. That's where the ninth offense comes. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy names. So here, because in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, because he has not developed any faith in Krishna or the name, the materialist cannot even hear the name. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swalpa Punyavatam Rajan Vishwasone Vajayate. To take up the name, one must have qualification. What is the qualification? What is the qualification? Faith. Right? The qualification is faith and faith alone. Right? Good caste by birth, good family, knowledge, social influence, etc. They are not the cause for the qualification for the holy name. The only qualification is faith. And faith means to have conviction in the glories and powers of the holy name. That's all. If one does not have that faith, a real Vaishnava will not give instruction on the holy name because it will be hard to digest for that person. This is the behavior of the Vaishnava. Okay? Because if a faithless man takes to the holy name, he will offend it. Okay? So now one may say, Prabhuji, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction? Yare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Amar agyay guru hai tarayai desh. Whomever you see give instructions. Where is the question of having faith or no faith? Nothing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this particular statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that Lord Chaitanya gave the order to give instruction in the name everywhere. Correct? Yare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh. What does it mean? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, but that means to give it to the faithful men. And by that perfection will be reached, not to unfaithful men. Okay. And he says, oh, but what kind of faith did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give to Jagai and Madai? He directly gave them faith or prema. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes quoting Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is telling to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, O Lord, being so merciful, you first gave faith to Jagai and Madai and then you gave them that name. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first gave faith. How he gave, that we don't know. But he gave faith. That should be understood. So, So wonderful was your personality that you created faith in all men. The Vaishnava should try to follow in your footsteps, which means they should first try to give faith. So therefore, preaching means giving knowledge where there is faith. Giving faith where there is none. When there is no faith, give them faith. Help them assimilate that faith through favorable. So giving faith means giving favorable experiences which will help them, which will nourish that particular faith. Giving knowledge where there is faith, giving faith where there is none, and giving knowledge only in proportion to the faith, not more than that. Once one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, in your Krishna book, you say that Krishna had millions of cows. Prabhupada said, yes. And Krishna had millions of cowherd friends. Yes. And he had millions of gopi friends. Yes. And he also mentioned that Mathura Mandal is 84 crores, 84 square miles. Prabhupada said, yes. But how can I logically explain it to a newcomer? So Prabhupada could have told, look, Vrindavan is transcendental. It is like a transcendental lotus. By the desire of Krishna, it can expand or contract according to Krishna's desire. He could have given this answer. How many times we have heard this answer? Prabhupada did not tell any of this. Prabhupada said, of all the things that I have spoken and written, you found this one small detail to preach to a newcomer? This is what Prabhupada asked him. There are so many things which will not challenge his faith. Of all the things I taught, you found this one detail which will be very difficult for ordinary people with ordinary faith to reconcile. You found only this to preach to them. So therefore, avoiding what is ninth offense? Ninth offense means eagerness to give knowledge, but no sufficient eagerness to create interest and faith. Then it becomes the ninth offense. Then it leads to offenses from the other side. So, anyways, so these are some thoughts I just wanted to share. So, thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.